Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 17. Proverbs 17, if you're becoming familiar with your Bible, just about in the middle of the Bible. Proverbs chapter number 17. I'll read one verse tonight, verse number 22 of Proverbs chapter number 17. Please stand with me. And I'll read on Proverbs 17, verse number 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for allowing us to come tonight. Lord, we pray that you please bless in the service. Lord, thank you for the good crowd that's here, those who are faithful to come back to the service. And Lord, we pray that you please just be with our preacher. Give him the words to say. Fill him with your Holy Spirit's anointing. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Bless the special music and the preaching following. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As a blind man was sitting there by the way, he cried to Jesus for mercy that day. Jesus commanded and gave him his sight, so he followed Jesus. And I'm sure he cried, Jesus passed by my way, and he made me whole that day. Such a sinner was I, but then Jesus passed by, and oh, what a change in my life since Jesus passed by.
True. That's a blessing. Wonderful. What a change. Amen. Good singing, youngins. I appreciate that. Tonight, that was good. Let me speak to you on the subject of God's medicine for a little bit tonight. You understand the book of Proverbs, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us in His Word tonight. Our Father, we thank you for a perfect book. Thank you so much for your Word. And oh, my goodness. The change that Jesus brought when He saved us, and now the change that the Word of God, the written Word of God, has brought since we've been saved for these years. And I pray that you'll help me tonight. Use me, Lord, I pray. We'll say everything you want me to say and only that which you want me to say, and make it a blessing and encouragement to the people. Thank you for their faithfulness tonight in Jesus' name. And amen. How many of you remember Reader's Digest? Okay, remember Reader's Digest? Yeah, great. Yeah, all right, well. I used to get Reader's Digest. My folks sent it to all of us boys, and I enjoyed it. As with most publications, it went too far with suggestive material and goofy articles, and I can't remember if I canceled it or asked the folks not to renew it, and they'd already decided they weren't going to renew it. I forget how it all happened, but it quit coming to the house. But for a number of years after Joyce and I were married, it came every month to the house. It was a Christmas gift every year from my folks. But anyway, they used to have a featured column every month entitled, remember that? Laughter, the Best Medicine. Remember that? And it contained several stories, you know, funny and humorous stories, and always enjoyed reading those stories. That's not all I read from the publication, but I did read that, okay? Some people get the newspaper just to read the comics. I really believe that. But now, I wonder where they got that title. You think they just pulled that out of thin air? Laughter the best medicine. I don't believe that. I doubt it. I think somebody probably pulled it from what God's book says in this verse right here. I really believe that. And God's book says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, in reality, the verse doesn't say, it doesn't use the word laughter. The word is merry. And it is possible to have a merry heart without actually laughing, I guess, out loud. But I do believe that one of the results of a merry heart is laughter. And I said something about that. Though sometime I get concerned when I see young men who are stone-faced and stoic, like that's macho. That's not macho. That's nothing to do with manhood. And what I would like to do is set one or two of those stone-faced boys up here and show them what I see from some other boys in the church who smile and laugh, who are much more of a man than they are. Much more. It's not anything to do with manhood whatsoever. It's in fact, it's just a sign of a heart that's not right. So you ought to be able to laugh. And like I said the other night, you're laughing at something. Laughing at something. Laughing at something. So, now, Norman Cousins, I don't know if anybody, if that name rings a bell with anybody. He was a liberal Democrat political journalist, author, and professor. He graduated from that college out in New York City, the Teachers College, that's a part of the Columbia University in New York City, which pumps out into the public school system. I don't know what to do here. I've got a video that is so packed full of documentation on what's being taught in the public schools right now that I really need to show that but I can't hardly that replace preaching, but everybody needs to see that. It's friend, I'm gonna tell you something. There's an agenda, and many of those teachers come out of places like this Columbia University. And I'm going to tell you something, it's a hellhole. It's an absolute hellhole. And so this guy, he came out of this, and he ended up out at UCLA. He was diagnosed with a rare disease that destroyed the connective tissue of the body. And he went through all kinds of tests and so forth, and, you know, the doctors finally told him, said, look, sorry, but there is nothing we can do. This is a degenerative disease, and you're going to die from it. There's nothing else that can be done. And so this man, Norman Cousins, he just had a little fight in his soul, a little fire in his belly. He didn't give up. He did three things. He went into a consistent regimen of exercise, and he took a very high dosage of vitamin C on a daily basis. And then he did a third thing that I thought was pretty unusual. He either bought or rented a projector. And this, of course, in the days before DVDs, and he rented as many Abbott and Costello and Three Stooges movies. This is serious. You can look this up. And cartoons as he could find. And he just would put those on and sit back and just, I know the Three Stooges is stupid, but if you can't laugh at that, something's wrong with you. If you can't laugh at Curly, you need to get a life, friend. I'm serious as a heart attack. Some people are just too pious for me. I cannot handle it. That one statement, I tried to think one time, Mo, nothing happened. That is the funniest statement that, anyway, if you can, and that's what he did. He played that stuff. And you know what he found? He would just sit back and laugh. He would just forget it and just laugh. Just enjoy it. And he said he found that 10 minutes of laughter gave him 1 to 2 hours of pain-free sleep. And so he practiced this routine, a consistent exercise and a high dosage of vitamin C, which I found that to be true. Man, you can really knock yourself, give yourself a high dosage of vitamins that'll help you when you get sick. And then this matter of watching these silly little films and Abbott and Costello and Who's on First, that's hilarious. And just it never loses its humor if you're sensible and just and anyway, he lived for over 20 years, longer than what they gave him, with a very productive life And he attributed it to those three things. Those three things. Now, the Bible does say, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Medicine makes you well. Medicine, you know, I was talking to a brother earlier. I try to give doctors the benefit of the doubt. You know, sometimes I think all these tests that they schedule is just, you know, but there's times when a man needs some medicine. Now, when I was a kid, y'all remember, it was penicillin for everything. For everything. And, but medicine makes you well. And the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, I want you to look at the rest of the verse. Look at the second half of the verse. The Solomon went on to say, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit. Now, the word spirit here does not refer to the Holy Spirit, because in the Old Testament days, the Holy Spirit did not reside permanently in the bodies of believers. He came upon people. He came in people for a very brief period of time, and then He left. He only indwelled the bodies of believers permanently since the upper room in John chapter 20, when Jesus breathed on them and said, receive you the Holy Spirit. Now He lives in our bodies permanently. Amen. But not back in those days. And there's nothing broken about the Holy Spirit. The word spirit in verse number 22 is our spirit. Now, what is a synonym of that word? Maybe attitude? Heart? I'm not sure. But a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, how does our spirit get broken? Well, let the Bible define itself. Turn back a page to chapter 15 and verse number 13. Chapter 15 and verse number 13. And look at what the Scripture says. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Now, wouldn't you say that an antonym of merry is sorrow? Okay? So you got a contrast here. The Bible says that by sorrow of heart, the spirit is broken. So a merry heart does good like a medicine makes you well. The contrast, a sorrowful heart breaks the spirit and dries the bones, takes the moisture out of the bones, dries up the bones, and leaves you just ready to crack. That's what he says. Now, when I was looking through the Bible at the word Mary, most of the time when the word Mary is used in the Bible, it is used in connection with a feast. You can search it out yourself. It's used in connection with eating and drinking, and having a good time. And it always is with the connotation of not just nibbling, but being filled with eating and filled with drinking and filled with this good time, and their hearts were merry. Okay, that's what it's used with most of the times in the Bible. Now, think about your holiday meals, and I'm headed somewhere. Just stay with me. Think about your holiday meals. Thanksgiving and Christmas, when the family is together and the table is spread and the plates are filled. And we had Jesse and Stephen over for lunch today. Leah wanted to be with Jesse a little bit, so we had Jesse and Stephen over. And, you know, it wasn't a holiday time, but we had a wonderful time around the table at lunch today. I'm going to tell you, folks, you do your family a great disservice if you don't get around that table together. And, you know, I preached a whole message on that. And it was schedules like they are today, work schedules. Sometimes that's hard to do, but boy, oh boy, you need to really get after that. You need to really get after that. And, the plates are filled, and you eat, and you talk, and you drink, and you laugh together, and you don't need some kind of fermented beverage to make you laugh. It's the joy of being together and the happiness, and if it's just water or Diet Coke or whatever it is, you know, and you have a good time, and you're merry. Now, and your heart's filled with that. You know, you think about sorrowful times. Times when you lose a loved one in death, or bad news about someone close to you with a disease or some problem, like I found out about this week, where the church member had a relative who had a crash and burn in their family, and they were brokenhearted. And, you know, the loss of a job and sorrow, and all you can think about is that certain bit of bad news, and you become sorrowful sorrowful, full of sorrow. All right? So the word merry in the Bible is used with being filled with joy and happiness and a good time and laughter. And that's like a medicine. And to be full of sorrow is just the opposite. It breaks the spirit and dries the bones. And here is my point tonight. A merry heart depends on what you're filled with. A merry heart depends on what you're filled with. You can be filled with that which makes your heart merry, or you can be filled with that which will make your heart sorrowful. And the Bible says a merry heart makes you feel better. That's what medicine does. Medicine helps the disease in your body and makes you feel better. You have a headache and you just take a simple aspirin sometimes, and before you know it, it's helped the pain in your head go away. And that's what a medicine does. And the Bible says a merry heart that's full of merriment and full of joy is like a medicine. And you know, I'm not saying that you will never be sorrowful of heart. Sorrow of heart is a part of life. Brother Newman, I think didn't you have a couple of sisters that were killed in an automobile accident hit by a drunk driver coming home from Bible college years ago? Coming home from Bible college at Christmas break, I think it was. Remember Brother Newman talking about that, hit by a drunk driver, and both the girls were killed. That's sorrow of heart, brother. That's a part of life. But hear me, friend, and we dare not stay sorrowful of heart. You don't have to. That's a choice. That's a choice. Now, I'm not saying you're going to ever get over anything as tragic as losing children. Sometimes siblings or other tragic events that take place. But remember what Jacob said when those boys brought him news about Joseph? Well, that was false news. It was a lie. But remember what he said? I will go to my grave mourning. I've got this sorrow of heart, and I'm not turning loose of it. I'm going to hang on to it, and I'm going to go to my grave sorrowful of heart. But brother, hear me tonight. Our book says that being sorrowful of heart breaks the spirits and dries the bones. And you and I have got to be careful what we fill ourselves with in these days. There are things all around us that will cause us to be sorrowful of heart. There are things that take place in our lives that cause us to be sorrowful of heart. Or there are things that we can think about and be filled with that bring us merriment and joy. And merry heart is like a medicine to your body. It's like a medicine to your spirit. And a sorrow of heart is just the opposite. It's like a disease. What are you being filled with? Television? Radio news? Internet blogs? Talk shows? Listen. I'm going to break what I'm preaching about tonight, and I'm going to spend a few minutes here, just a few minutes. Folks, there has been enough aggravating stuff happen in the last 10 days, starting a week ago, Friday, I think it was, that just makes you sick. On April 26th, our president spoke to Planned Parenthood. He was the first sitting president to go speak to that murderous, baby-killing organization. Somehow, he found time, with all this going on in the world, to go speak to them. At the same time, the atrocities of this Dr. Kermit Gosnell, who practiced in Philadelphia, has been charged with 4 counts of murder. It was originally 7, and then they dropped 3. And 4 counts of murder, 3 of those were dismissed, accused of killing babies that were born alive. Now that's been in the news. And with that trial going on, with that trial and the arguments from the prosecution and the defense being made, while that's happening, our president goes to Planned Parenthood and really gives him a pep talk. That was April 26th. On April the 29th, Monday, amazingly, with all that's going on in this world, And all that's going on in our own country, our president finds time to call a sodomite basketball player to congratulate him. Now, there's the highest ranking official in our land in 4 days' time, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, visiting the abortionists and congratulating the sodomites. On May the 2nd, Rhode Island became the 10th state to legalize sodomite marriages. And this is what they said. We are making history. We are living up to the ideal of our founders. When the Rhode Island House approved it on a vote of 56-15, huge applause broke out, and they broke out in singing, "My country, 'tis of thee." Is that the song that has something about God in it? I believe, you know. This was May 2nd. And then at some time, the sodomite basketball player comes out, and he's a Christian. And sportscasters and journalists just take the opportunity to blast anybody who dares speak out against it. And blast those who refuse to say a word about it, positive or negative. And then our military, I don't know what our military is doing with this thing with the chaplain. And somebody told me it was signed into executive order yesterday, but supposedly that they can't witness and use the name of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, friend. I want to say something here. We got Dan out in California, and I'm glad Dan's doing what Dan's doing. That's the will of God for Dan. I hope he's in the will of God and doing good. But I'm going to tell you something from the pulpit. The military is not a good option. Just not. And I say that because we got a whole high school full of boys going to the military. And you can't tell me that that's the will of God. Now, you know what would happen if all the boys, in fact, this has happened, all the boys go to Bible college. Well, that's not the will of God. They're just following. And it's not the will of God for all the boys to traipse off to the military. They're not praying for the will of God. Now, I'm sorry, folks, but if there's going to be influence in the church, I'm going to come back with influence from the pulpit. Okay, and I don't mean anybody. Dan is my friend. I pray for Dan. I'm not anti-Dan. But what was the will of God for Dan may not be the will of God for your son. And if it's not the will of God, I'm going to tell you something. You're sending him into a real tough situation. It's still my opinion that the best and safest thing for these kids to do when they come out of high school, homeschool or our school, is get to a Bible college for a year. Get in there. That's my opinion. Okay? That's my opinion. Okay? And with other voices in the church, I'm going to have to let my voice be heard. Okay? That's my opinion. They're going to grow up somewhere. They do a whole lot better growing up in some kind of environment that's somewhat safe and regulated. And now, I've said my piece. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not mad at anybody. If you think I've got an ugly heart toward Dan, you are absolutely wrong. You just ask him. He knows this man loves him. Okay? But I just have to say that. I just have to say. I love Will Huntley, but Will Huntley went into the military before he got saved. I'm sorry. But I can't watch this influence just sweep through and all this police stuff because you're watching some fantasy on television that's not even real. Well, okay, Brother Angel, I wrote it on the side. I said, Lord, if you don't want me to say it, just lead me. But I just felt like this is the time to say it. Okay? Well, say what I believe. Now, see? If that's all you've been filled with this week, it's no wonder you're down. It's no wonder you're sick. It's no wonder. And some people listen to this stuff over and over. They catch it at 7 o'clock. They catch it at noon. They catch it at 5 o'clock. They catch it at 6 o'clock. And let's find Fox and let's hear MSNBC. And let's get on the internet and let's read. And we read the same stuff over and over and over and over. The same pile of junk over and over. And it's no wonder God's people walk around with a long face. And in some cases are sick. No. I mean physically sick. Physically sick. Because my book says that a merry heart does good like a medicine that makes you well, and sorrow of heart is a broken spirit that dries the bones, takes the moisture out of your bones and leaves you ready to crack. And watch those reality TV shows that are filthy. And folks, it has an effect on you. I don't care what you say. What are you filled with? Now look, I don't live in a cocoon. I listen to the news. I get the news off of Fox.com. That's where I get the news. But I don't rehearse it over and over and over and over and over. I don't go from Fox to CBS and CBS to ABC and ABC to NBC. And this commentator and this blog and this conservative author and Rush Limbaugh. I get it at Fox.com and that's it. And then, with all that stuff, I get in the car going to Providence on Thursday morning early, and I put a good old CD in there singing about how good God is and how wonderful heaven is and how great it is to be saved. And I'm driving down the road singing at the top of my lungs inside that car where nobody can hear me. But once in a while at a red light, they look at you like, what is going on? And I'm going out to get my wife halfway out to Iowa on Friday morning. To sing, and I sang and sang. And then I just said, the Holy Spirit said, it's time for no noise and just pray. And I turned the everything off and the quietness of the automobile. I started in this section over here and went through all this church auditorium and thought about all the wonderful people that God has given us. And prayed for you, prayed for your children, prayed for your parents. Asked the Lord to help you. Got filled up with God's good, how good God is. And look at what that. What, and read my Bible and talk to my two girls and talk with my wife. And you know what? Brother, you got to get filled with something. You got to get filled with something. And if you'll fill yourself with news and with God's... That's exactly what I really believe that continual sorrow of heart actually ends up affecting our physical health. I'm convinced of that. Because of what the Bible says. And you know what you got to get filled up with? This is a simple message. You know what you need to get filled up? How do you get a merry heart? I got one simple thought. Just get filled up with the goodness of God. Now that may sound so simplistic, and that may sound so elementary, and that may just sound to some people like he's just a simpleton, but brother, I want to tell you something. Do you remember when that prodigal son came back to the father? Remember when he got out of that hog pen? And he came down that road and his father saw him afar. And ran to meet him. And his son had this speech all prepared. He repeated it to himself in the hog pen. Remember that? Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. And am no more worthy to be called thy son, but make me like one of thy hired servants. Remember that? He rehearsed it. Here he comes, and here comes Dad. And he starts into his speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And you read it for yourself. He never got that last phrase out. He never said, make me as one of thy hired servants, because as soon as he said, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son, his dad said, get the fatted calf! Kill it! Dress it! Let's eat! My son, which was dead, is now alive, and he that was lost is found. Now watch it. And they began to be merry. Get filled up with all forgiveness and restitution and restoration and joy, and that this is a picture of God's goodness to us. And every time we come to Him, friend, even when we've been a ways off and maybe in a cold, backslidden condition, we come to Him and, Father, would You forgive us? And He's there to say, kill the fatted calf and let's eat and drink and hide Your back and I love You. And friend, God is so good. That is just so good. In spite of all that's going bad. You know, God help me not to be, I do not mean anything ugly by this, but I'm going to say this. I talked to this person and this person. And this person, there's problems. And legitimate. Legitimate problems. And it's, And I talk to this person. And there's problems. Bigger than these problems. And it's smile and laugh. And I asked one the other day, how do you do this? How do you smile? How do you laugh when folks with lesser problems can't? Well, God's just been so good. I just feel like God's been so good. And He has. And He is. And you can label it simplistic if you want to, friend. But I'll promise you something. If you know what God did with Moses? God took Moses up on a mountain and He sat him up there and He made His glory pass by and He showed Moses all of His goodness. And when Moses came off the mount, His face shone. You see, you believe that? Absolutely, I believe that. I've seen that, Matt. You see people whose faces shine, their countenance shines. And I'll promise you, friend, if you really got into in-depth conversation with them, you'd probably find out that that's what's on their mind. How good God is. How good God is. How good God is. And they're filled up with it. You're going to fill up with something. Yesterday morning after the bus meeting, Brother Larry was there and he said, hey, preacher, do you remember? And he called the name of two girls. He said, you remember those two girls? I said, Larry, I can't remember those. He said, when you were a bus captain, they were our next door neighbors. You were coming to visit them when you ran into me and Gerald and Nicole. You were coming to visit them. And you saw us there in the alley and talked with Mom and we started riding the bus. And the rest is history. He said, he called the name of one of the girls. He said, the reason I was thinking about it was this week in the paper had a front page article about the man who shot and killed her 2 years ago. Used to ride the bus to church. I can't remember the girl. That's back in 1991, a long time ago. And he said she was walking down the street over by Orchard Street with some friends. And there were two rival gangs who were fighting. And they started shooting. And those girls got in the crossfire. She was hit in the throat and died. And they put her killer in jail this week. He said, it's just kind of been on my mind. I said, wow. said, I'm really glad you came by. You know what he's doing? He's going back. He's going back in his mind to what could have been and what is, because of God's goodness. That's how he said it. He said, "I'm really glad you came by." Yeah, I'm glad Mike Hagee came by 30-something years ago. Because what could have been compared to what is, God's been good. What you filled up with tonight? Folks, I live in no cocoon. I'm not got my head buried in the sand. This aggravates the fire out of me. And if I filled up myself with it, it'd make me sick. Y'all with me? Because a broken, a sorrowful heart is like it breaks the spirit and dries the bones. But a merry heart, filled up with the goodness of God, does good like a medicine. Let's sing it together. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. He loves me so. He loves me so. He loves me so. He's so good to me. And Jesus passed by like those girls, boys sang. And oh, what a change in my life. Oh, what a change. Let's stand together. Father, thank you for your goodness. Help us to be filled with it. We live in a world that is really sick, sinful. It causes us so many distractions and seeks to distract us from your goodness. May we be locked in on it, Lord, and spend enough time alone with you in quietness and good Christian music. It causes us to remember and reflect. I'm so glad you came by, Lord. So thankful. May I never forget it. In Jesus' name.